Bishop Abe gave a message a while ago, it was actually quite a while ago, and he had this really, really unique parallel. And it's because I'm allergic to poison ivy, and maybe it resonated with me very well because I'm allergic to poison ivy, but he used this scenario of saying, if somebody runs through a field of poison ivy, they should get a rash. And I'm like, oh, wow, that makes so much sense because I'm so allergic to poison ivy, I want to stay away from that stuff. But it's the same thing with receiving the Holy Spirit, being sealed, or that dowry that was given. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and when the Holy Spirit lives in you, there should be a reflection of that life living in and through you. And that was so amazing, and that actually set me free from being able to use that word should again, because I always think of the context of the word should as this is something you have to do in order to maintain a status quo. That's not truth. This word should is simply a reflection, simply understanding that you are sealed by God's love and grace. You have inherited the promise. And you are in the house, according to what Jake Bamman was talking about in his last sermon. You're in the house. You are saved. You can't unsave yourself. You can't do these things because it's God who saves you. You can't undo what God has done. Grace is so amazing. Grace is liberating. Grace sets us free from all of the sin that we've committed and the sins we're going to commit. Christ means it's okay to do whatever you want under grace. But, capital B, capital U, capital T, but, I look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1, where it says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? If you are flirting with the idea of saying, you know what, if everything is paid for and I can live and run a free willy-nilly life and do whatever I want and I'm saved, you're beginning to understand grace. And Paul gives you this warning, and he says, okay, don't pour grace into the liberations of the flesh. Now understand who you are in Christ. And grace is going to pour out even more. So should we sin even more in order for God to give us even more grace? Wow, that'd be amazing, right? No, he's saying, no. He says, look, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live as if we are entrapped by it? And this is this reigning in life. You see, I fear many of us have fallen into the trap of complacency and just being satisfied with the knowledge of salvation. And we do not want to bring the practical application into our Christian lives. And there's where I got trapped with this word should. And that I'm not allowed to use this word. If you have received Jesus, there should be fruit of your life in your life. And I'd be like, oh, no, because that sounds like an application of this should is how you keep or maintain. But no, there is a reflection. Much greater reigning in life is setting ourselves aside for the use to be an honorable vessel, like Jake was telling us a couple of Sundays ago. I find the demands of this world and the demands of social media have head faked us into seeing that our social status and how many followers we have and how far our message is going has deluded us into making a name for ourselves in this world more than proclaiming the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We are so bombarded, and social media has just done this thing of how far can we go? How far can we reach out? How many people know my name? How many people view my messages? How many people do all of these things? And we're working from a status quo standpoint as opposed to working from an identity standpoint. It doesn't matter what you think or how you believe or actually my impression of what you believe about me. It matters that I believe wholeheartedly that God loves me and gave his son for me. And that there is nothing that I can do. And like it says in Acts, the theme for this series, that you've been saved, your sins are forgiven, even though the law of Moses couldn't do those things. Christ did them. This is the gospel message, and our identity now lies in that. And this begins to really, really give this reflection of working from rest. Keeping the gospel fresh is something that has been important to me specifically, because then in every circumstance, I can look and I can rise above. The circumstance is just another stone. My identity cannot be changed by circumstance. My emotions and my feelings can be affected by a circumstance, but my identity and who I am cannot be affected by the stones of circumstance that get thrown my way. And when there are so many circumstances that come plowing in, I wonder if we ask the question, am I being overrun? It feels like it at times. I won't deny that. There feels like there is times where circumstances are so hard, so overwhelming, that we even get physically weak at the knees and we can't even stand up. We need a friend to lean on. Social distancing, don't lean. We need a friend to lean on and to hold us in these circumstances of great peril. And we completely rest on them. We literally will give our bodies and just lean on somebody in order to feel their strength and to feel their comfort. Do circumstances overrun us? And then I think of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And it says, yet those who wait on the Lord, yet those who lean on God will gain new strength. That is amazing to me. Will gain new. It's different. You're not trying to recharge your flesh. You're not trying to make circumstances better. You're not trying to fill in those only if I had statements. You will get a brand new strength. It's transforming. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary. And I wonder how many of us have heard this Isaiah 40, 31 quoted, and we're just like, yeah, you know what? That sounds airy. Maybe one day I can have that. No. Remember what I asked. Do you actually believe what the Bible says? Do you believe that you can reign in life? This is the promise that Paul has given to us. This is why I'm fearing this warning in Habakkuk. And Habakkuk says, there's an amazing work being done today. And you won't believe it even though someone is telling you this amazing work. The Bible has been telling us this amazing work of Christ crucified, Christ living in and through us. And there's so many Christians that are bombarded by worldly circumstance and being overrun. And you do not feel the promises of God. You do not feel like you are mounting up on wings like eagles. You do not feel like you can run a marathon and not grow tired. You do not feel that you can just continue to walk in your Christian walk and not grow tired of it. When you grow tired, you are actually looking to perform and please God, but God is already pleased because he is pleased with the work that he did through his son. And his son is what is living inside of us. Now we cling to that identity, into that spiritual truth of knowing and understanding who we are in Christ. You see, understanding the fundamentals and the truth behind all that we do sets us on a different mission than most. And this is where we begin to actually understand we get to work from rest, not work in order to receive rest. That's what we do in our daily lives. Isn't that what we do? When we work for a 9-to-5, so to speak, whatever your hours are, maybe you're not even working right now because of the social distancing, we work hard in order to vacation. We work hard in order to maintain or to be able to afford this thing of going and resting. So we work to rest. We work in order to have hobbies. We work in order to recharge through the very things that we enjoy doing, because work takes up most of our time and hobbies don't take up as much time. And these are the things where we recharge. That's backwards from Christ's perspective. That is not how we were designed. That is not how Christ has engaged us in his promises of what he's doing. And that reminds me in the book of John, where Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman. So he's sent the disciples into town, and he's just chilling by this well. And this lady comes and stands with him at this well. It's a Samaritan woman as well. So there's so many things going on here. Jews don't talk to Samaritans and all of this stuff. There's a boatload of stuff going on here. And in John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to this lady, and he says this, John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. And Jesus says this to the Samaritan woman. But an hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, when we are working in order to maintain a status quo with Christ, if we are doing the very things that we do in our Christian lives in order to say, I've checked that box, and I am maintaining a status quo with God, we're going to get tired. We're going to grow weary. We're going to be like, why am I not getting acknowledged for the hard work that I'm doing? Why am I not getting the praises for preaching amazing sermons? Why am I not getting the status quo that I want for doing the things that I'm doing, even within the church? It's because we're working to we're working for rest. We're working so hard in order so that we can go get a break. But when we work from rest, when we work understanding what Christ has done and we are worshiping him in spirit and truth, you will just continue to go and do and serve because it's not your strength. Remember, we are going to gain a new strength. And when we work from the strength of Christ crucified, when we work from that understanding and from that identity, that is when we begin to never run out of energy. There's great theologians and there's great studiers that when they look at the torture that they put Jesus through and they looked at what they physically did to his body, they said it was impossible for him to actually carry the cross as far as he did. And it was impossible for him to actually be physically alive. But he didn't work from his outside. His body was broken. His body suffered the consequences of sin. But his identity, it never changed. And he worked from his core. He worked in knowing that God was with him. He worked from knowing that God will never leave him. Even on the cross, God did not leave Jesus Christ. He was with him. Go look in the Psalms. Go look at the prophecies. God did not forsake his son. God sent him into the pits of hell to release the captives, to release us from this bondage of thinking we have to work hard in order to maintain our Christian lives. It's not the truth. Jesus says when we worship in spirit, we will be able to work from rest. We will be able to identify with God of who we are as Christians. And we will be able to run and not grow weary. And we will be able to walk and not faint. Are you reigning in life? Are you being filled before you go out? Or do you go out in order to become filled? And like Jake's message about talking about honorable and dishonorable vessels, are we okay with just being this dishonorable vessel that's still in the house? Are we okay with just this status quo of being saved? Or are you willing to take the Bible for what it says and engage in reigning in life? I want to dare you to take God's word and actually believe it, and actually let it live in and through you. Are you willing to take God's word and challenge God for the promises that he's given to us? Or is it something that seems too airy and too far-fetched? Does circumstance overwhelm you to the point of thinking, I don't know what I'm supposed to do anymore? Take God at his word. Don't hear me telling you to reign in life. Hear Paul speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking through him and saying, if you receive the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace, you will reign in life. It's not me. I'm quoting the words of Christ crucified through the Apostle Paul. And are we willing to engage and actually believe that? And that's why I'm focusing on the quote from Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. There is going to be a work. Habakkuk, he's talking about Chaldeans coming out and wiping out the Israelite nation. Israel is God's chosen people. No one's going to wipe us out. We're God's. We're chosen. And the prophet Habakkuk says, you're going to be wiped out by the Chaldeans. What'd they say? We're God's people. Never going to happen. But it happened. And the prophecy came to be. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to believe me. The same application is what Paul is talking about. And Luke records it in the book of Acts, where he says, you're going to hear a message preached to you, but you're not going to believe it. And I challenge you, like Jake challenged you, are you willing to become the honorable vessel? Are you willing to set yourself aside and to focus on Christ crucified, focus on your identity, and to become this honorable vessel? You see, reigning in life is not avoiding bad situations, but much rather it's rising above the bad situations and showing a love and a peace that others will be jealous of. And this is the Christian life that others will look at and go, how did you get through that circumstance? Or how in the world are you still smiling amidst of losing your job and losing all of these things? How can you be so calm? How can you be at peace? What do you have figured out that others don't? And this is the amazing part. All you have to say is Jesus. Boom. God gets the glory. It's not about, oh, I figured out how to cross my legs and do this, all these funny things. It's not about that. It's all about just going, people looking and going, you are going through hell on earth. How are you at peace? Jesus. And God gets all the glory. Because you're not complaining about the circumstance. You're not complaining about the situation. You're not complaining about that you can't sit in these pews and enjoy a fellowship and have me running around the stage and keeping being interactive to you. You're not complaining about that. Your focus is Jesus. Your focus is your identity and knowing who Christ crucified is. You see, trusting and loving and going through hell on earth will bring its time. Will bring a time when all you have to do is say Jesus and God gets all the glory and God gets the credit. It's nothing you did, but letting Christ live in and through you. Jesus' light shines again. This is all about keeping the gospel fresh. This is all about it being dominant and being a reminder for you that you don't have to go out to receive and get a rest. Be recharged. Be filled, and then go and let Christ live his life in and through you. And I will close with Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where Paul is actually rebuking Peter for falling back into a performance-based way of life. And it's really neat, this rebuke, and this verse, I never ever grow tired of this verse. And Paul says, after he's rebuking Peter for going back into living a performance-based life, he says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. His identity is Christ living in him. His identity is the fact that it is no longer about what I'm doing, it is about what Christ is doing in me, in the life which I now live. So me walking these, taking these steps and doing all of these things, the life that I now live, I live in this body, in this flesh, I live by faith. There's that airy word again. Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And that's the same thing that Habakkuk was talking about in Habakkuk 2, verse 4. He says, there will be those who will live by faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Abraham was given righteousness because he believed in the promises of God. So I would like to close this message, and I thank you for listening and for engaging in your Sunday morning and all of the work that we're doing. We have no idea how long this is going to last, this social distancing thing. But I pray, and I'm going to close with my benediction that I always use out of Hebrews. And I pray that we listen. And there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of challenges, and there's lots of hearsay. Different perspectives that people are talking about. But we, the church, we are the church. This is the building. And when the pews are filled, the church is present. And you guys, wherever you are the church. And now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may leave your sofa and go in peace with the Lord Jesus Christ and be the church, people. Be the church.